قال الله تبارك وتعالى: هو الله الذي لا إله من الشاهدين والشاكرين
throughout the jungle. The animals will run away from the jungle, the insects will be killed, and all the roots will be burned. Everything will be destroyed. And then from the beginning again you can start and you can have a victory. The heart of man is similar to the jungle. That in it there are very, very great insects, animals, weeds, insects, wild plants, etc. If man wants to clean his heart, the easiest is he takes the flame of the love of Allah and he puts it on his heart.
The reason for this is that as soon as man hears of the greatness and the power of Allah,
He understands Allah to be Jabbar, very, very fearful, powerful, Qahhar, a person who likes to punish and likes to destroy. Man may think that Allah has created me only to destroy me. Allah has created my eyes to burn it in Jahannam. But wallah, Allah has not created us for it. It was with love and rububiyyah that Allah has created us. Allah created man so that man can go to Jannah. Man can get the love of Allah. Allah does not create someone to destroy someone. With love, Allah has created a person. So to remove the doubt from man's heart that you think I am a being who just wants to punish you, Allah says, Rada, I am Rahman, I am Rahim. Hazrat Mawlana Abdul Hamid Sahib explained so beautifully that there is one ayat that we hear in the Quran. Allah is watching me, he's ready to pull up my eyes, to pull up my hands, to punish me. He says, but I love of Allah, looked at the ayah, that when he is standing in salah, does he not know that Allah is watching him with great love? When he is doing sadaqah, does he not know Allah is watching him with great love? At all times of good, Allah is also watching him. When he is doing bad, Allah is watching him with anger. But when he does good, Allah is watching him with love. So there is great love in the dhat of Allah. Man must understand this love. For this Allah mentions, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. That, O my Banda, did you not see I created you with the sifat of love? I could have created you like an animal, like a pig. It was out of love that I told you to be of Ashraful Makhlukat, man. It was out of love I told you to be from the Muwahideen, those who will believe in Allah. It was out of love I made you from the Ummah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It was out of love I created every limb of the body in the correct place. And I fulfilled every single need of yours. When you were a very small child, you do not know how to express your desire. It was with love that I put it in your mother's heart that my child wants to see you at this particular moment and to fulfill that need. You could not express it, you would cry and your mother would give you whatever you want. When you grew up, you were a toddler. It was out of love Allah was protecting you. There were so many times that you could have been harmed. It was with love that Allah was looking after you. When you became big and you went to school or to madrasa, it was with love that Allah made you be able to learn everything. It was love that Allah put in the heart of your teacher to have patience with you. When you became a big person looking for a job, it was love that Allah put in a person's heart to give you a certain job. When you needed money and you went to someone's house to ask for money, it was love Allah put in a person's heart for you to give you that money. Throughout your life, you were seeing the love of Allah, yet you have not understood that Allah is Rahman, Allah is Rahim. A very, very great wali of Allah, Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi rahimullah, a great muwahid mutawakkil of Allah, such taqwa yad of Allah, such love yad of Allah, that he mentioned that he will not speak of anything except Allah. And once he mentioned to his murid that if I had known there to be a subject more greater than speaking of Allah himself, then I would have studied that subject and I would have given my life to learn that subject. But I have understood that there can be nothing greater than speaking of Allah. So in his bayanat, he would speak of the oneness of Allah and the great power and the might of Allah. Jadeed al-iqab, Allah can punish very, very severely. Sari'ul kitab, very fast in reckoning. Fa'alul lima yurid. Whatever Allah wishes to do, he can do it. No one can question him. He throw who he wishes into Jahannam. La yutalu amma yafal. Whatever he does, no one can question him. No one can take revenge. No fear of anyone coming to take revenge. Wala yaqafu min aqdaa. This is the dhat of Allah. So like this, he entrenched in the hearts of his murid the great fear and the might of Allah. That fear which is mentioned his murid had, that once Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi rahimullah comes in the majlis and he is sitting down and thinking what to say. His murid had so much fear of Allah that all he had to say was, O my friends, ittaqullah, fear Allah, and he stopped. It is mentioned that the entire majlis began crying and crying and crying, and for hours this remained a condition. He woke up and he left that majlis. This was the fear of Allah he put in their heart. For 10 years he began continued mentioning the great power and might of Allah. After that he sees a dream in which Allah says, O Junaid, what is wrong that you only speak of my might and power? Do you not know I am Kareem also, I am Rahim also, I am Tawwab, I am Afu? What about my sifat of mercy also? Why don't you speak of that? Why do my servants not love me also like how they can? It is mentioned for the next 10 years of his life, he would not say anything except regarding the mercy of Allah. So this is that mercy of Allah. Allah does not wish his servants to become despondent and mayus, but how can we ever please him and we will get punished? Allah wishes for them to have hope in Allah. Regarding the sifat of Rahman, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said, Ar-Rahman, al-Aatifu bil-Barri wal-Fajr. A Zat whose atf and karam and rahmat and love and compassion is on Barr and Fajr, on the good and the bad, on the mu'min and the kafir, on those who obey Allah, those who are disobedient to Allah. بِالرِّزْقِ لَهُمْ, that he looks after them and fulfills every desire of them. He gives the kafir water to drink also, he gives the Muslim water to drink. وَدَفْعِ الْآفَاتِ عَنْهُمْ, and all difficulties and problems, he removes it from the Muslim's life also, he removes it from the kafir's life. This is the Zaat of Allah, that a kafir can be disobeying Allah to such an extent, and Allah will still be showering upon him. It is mentioned regarding a very, very great saint, Zunnun Misri Rahimullah, who was in the love of Allah, searching for the recognition of Allah. One day while he is walking, Allah, to teach him who Allah is, makes him witness a very unique incident. He says that while he was walking, he notices running past him a scorpion, and at a very, very fast pace. And the scorpion runs very close to him. He understands that this is a sign from Allah. Let me follow the scorpion and see what is the matter. So he says the scorpion continues going as if in great urgency. He has been sent to fulfill some needs. The scorpion reaches the bank of the river. Now he wonders that how will the scorpion go past the river? A scorpion cannot go into water. He says, to my amazement, I see a frog comes to the surface of the water. And normally a scorpion will kill the frog. But he says, to my utter astonishment, the scorpion jumps onto the back of the frog. The frog, no scare, no worry, no fear, he starts taking the scorpion across the river. He says, I understand this to be the unique work of Allah. I also cross the river through a bridge and I come to the other side. I reach there just in time to see the scorpion jumping off the back of the frog, and he is running towards a man who is sleeping under a tree. I notice on the branch of the tree there is a massive snake, and the snake is coming very close to the man to bite him. And just before the snake can bite the man and sting the man, the scorpion jumps on the back of the snake. It stings the snake and extracts the poison, and the snake falls down dead. The scorpion then jumps back down again. He goes to the river bank. The frog is waiting like a taxi, and he takes him back across the river. So he says, I understood this is the unique work of Allah. But this must be one great saint and wali of Allah, that such intizam preparation Allah made for his protection, that the scorpions and the frogs of the world were also used to protect him. So I say, I will wait for this person to see what a great pious person he is, and I will ask him for dua also. I go to sit near him, and I notice that there is foam coming out from his mouth. It is the foam of a man who is drunk. I get shocked that this man is in a drunken, intoxicated state, and that all that beer is around his mouth. I question Allah and say, O Allah, this man in such a state of disobedience, openly he drinks in front of you, and he even goes to sleep in this condition. How is it that you have made so much preparation for him? Zunnun Misri Rahimullah says, ilham comes to him. Allah puts a thought in his mind, that, O Zunnun, if I only have to look after those who are obedient to me, then who will look after those who are disobedient? So this is the love of Allah, which Allah wants every single person in this world to get. It is mentioned that whichever group came in the past, then the reason of shirk, the reason of associating partners with Allah, ulama explain, was if you have to ponder over all the people who made shirk, you will see it was one thing, and that is the misunderstanding they had regarding the Zaat of Allah. When people understood Allah to be Jabbar and Qahar, very, very powerful, very, very mightiful, then they felt that how can we go in front of Allah with our needs? Day and night we disobey Allah. How can we then put our hands up to Allah and ask Him for what we want? Is it not a disgraceful act? Like one Shayan, he mentioning to himself, taking his name, he's saying that with what faith are you going to go to the Kaabatullah? With what faith are you going to go to the house of Allah? When day and night you are disobeying Allah, now you want to go to His house. Thinking to be like a king of this world, you disobey him, disobey him, and then a need comes and you go to him. He will immediately order his guards to have you killed. So thinking Allah to be like that, he says, that, oh, with what face can I go to the Kaabatullah? One arif, one wali of Allah changes the form and he says, that I will take the same face which has disobeyed Allah, and I will take it to the house of Allah, and I will put it in the stand in front of Allah, and I will cry to Allah asking Allah to forgive me. Allah is not like a king of this world. Allah loves to see that disobedient face coming in front of him asking for forgiveness. So all the previous tribes who made shirk was on the basis of the fear that they felt that they could not worship Allah. They do not have the ability to stand in front of Allah. Shaitan then blew in their minds that instead of going directly to Allah, there are very, very pious people in the world that you know, why don't you go to them? They do not have that sifat of anger and power to punish you, but they have Lord mercy and compassion in their heart. So you sit with them and they will love you also, and they will make dua for you, and like that day your work will get done. People felt this very, very easy, and they started going to these friends of Allah. And after a while, honoring them, after a while, started worshipping them. And this is how shirk started. So because of this, Allah wanted to remove shirk completely from this world. The Quran being the Quran of Hidayat, the last book of Hidayat, to make sure that shirk will never come in the minds of the Muslims. Man will find that if he reads the Quran, over and over again he notices that the word Rahman, Rahim is repeated again and again in different ways. He starts Bismillah. After Bismillah, any sifat of Allah, Allah could have mentioned. He mentions Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. That do not think me to be like a king of the world that you have to make shirk to come to me. I am Rahman, Rahim, come directly towards me. He starts Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. Sheikh Nasiruddin Al-Zahrani, who has written the kitab regarding Allah, Allah Ahlul Thana wal Majid. He mentions that in Surah Fatiha, one man stands in front of Allah. He begins with Bismillah. After that, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. After that, it is a maqam of khushu and khudu, a maqam standing in front of Jabbar, a maqam, a time when a man is standing in front of his creator. It is a time of tazallul, man supposed to be in great fear and awe. At that time, the next sifat should have been mentioned, Al-Ali, Al-Azim, Al-Mutakabbir, Al-Muntaqim, the great sifat of the power of Allah. Yet Allah wishes to mention Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, that, oh my banda and my slave, although you are standing in front of me, do not become scared of me. I am not like the king of the world who will have your head chopped off in 1 minute. I am very, very Rahim and Kareem. Whatever you want, come to me, I will give it to you. It is said at that time in namaz, a person's heart gets itminan, that in front of my Lord is not going to punish me. He only wants to bless me. A person's chest opens up, and a person feels all sorrow going out from his heart. So like this, over and over in the Quran, Allah explains His rahmat. Regarding Wahshi rahimullah, radiyallahu anhu, who became radiyallahu anhu, in the beginning, when he was still a kafir, then just imagine, what is sin Wahshi radiyallahu anhu made when he was a kafir? That for man to think of the sin also, he shudders. The greatest, one of the greatest sins man could commit was to hurt the heart of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, arhamur rahimin, who would forgive over and over and over, but to hurt his heart, imagine what a sin he had to make. Wahshi, for the attainment of his freedom, his master told him that if you go and kill Hamza radiallahu an, the beloved uncle of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then I will grant you freedom. So taking his spear, he goes to Uhud with the sole purpose of getting the life of Hamza radiallahu an. He understands also that to stand in front of Asadullah, Hamza radiallahu anhu, is no easy task. That definitely Hamza radiallahu anhu will be able to kill me. So he decides from far away, hidden behind a rock, to throw a spear into Hamza radiallahu anhu. He was known for his ability to spear throwing also. At very far distances he could throw a spear. So during the battle of Uhud, Hamza radiallahu anhu is going and fighting the enemy. And from very far away, Wahshi radiallahu anhu, at that time, he takes the spear and he throws it. And through a very sensitive part of the body of Hamza radiallahu anhu, the spear goes right through, which results in the death of the great friend and uncle of Allah, of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Hamza radiallahu anhu. Then that is not enough, he goes to Hazrat Hamza radiallahu anhu and starts cutting his body apart. And he takes out the liver of the body of Hamza radiallahu anhu to give it to that woman to eat. Such a crime he committed. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so hurt he was, that it is mentioned in the books of history, that 70 times the janazah of Hazrat Hamza radiallahu anhu was performed. There were 70 martyrs in the battle of Uhud. With every martyr, Hazrat Hamza radiallahu anhu's body was placed in front. And again Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would make salatul janazah for it. So much worry and sadness in the heart of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ulama mentioned over and over again Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will go to Mount Uhud just to go and make ziyarat of his uncle in the qabr. That was the pain he felt at the death of his uncle Hazrat Hamza radiallahu anhu. But after Fath Makkah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who came to call everyone to Islam, he sends a dawah to Wahshi radiallahu anhu also, calling him to Islam. So at that time, Wahshi, thinking that his son to be too great, he becomes shocked and he sends a message back, Ya Muhammad, kayfa tad'uni, O Muhammad, how can you call me to Islam? Wa anta taz'umu, and you are telling your people, anna man qatala, that a man who has killed, O ashraka, who has made shirk, O zana, or who has made zina, who has made adultery, yalqa asama, he will get the worst punishment in Jahannam. Yudha'af lahu al-azabu yawm al-qiyamah, the punishment will be over and over repeated on him, made double and triple. Wa yakhlud fihi muhana, he will remain in Jahannam in a very, very zaleel, in a very, very disgraceful state. So how can you call me to Islam when I have killed your uncle, I have made shirk for so many years, and I have made zina, adultery over and over again? At that time, Allah's mercy, Allah reveals, إِلَّا مَن تَابَ وَآمَنَ وَعَمِلَ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا, that tell Wahshi that this ayat is not for those people who have made tawbah, وَآمَنَ, who have brought iman, وَعَمِلَ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا, who have done good actions. فَأُولَٰئِكَ يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتٍ, these people, not only will Allah forgive them, Allah will change their bad actions into good actions also. And this is the mercy of Allah. Now imagine Wahshi at that time, If it was me and you, we will run immediately that our mercy, forgiveness has come. Where can we ever think of getting forgiven? But at that time also he sends a message back to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He says, Ya Muhammad, هذا شرط شديد, that the condition you have made is very, very severe. That I have to make tawbah, I have to have iman, and I have to have good deeds. وَأَمِلَ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا لَعَلِّي لَا أَقْدِرُ عَلَى هَذَا. Perhaps I will not love to be able to do these actions. I will not love to be able to do good actions, which will result in my bad actions being wiped out. So do you have anything else for me? Allah's mercy again comes. He does not reproach Wahshi that I am giving you a chance, why don't you accept it? Again the mercy of Allah comes. And Allah says, tell Wahshi, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَٰلِكَ لِمَن يَشَاءُ. That Allah will never forgive a mushrik, a person who makes shirk with Allah. Besides that, whoever Allah wishes, Allah will forgive him. So what are you becoming despondent for? Why don't you come to me and I will also forgive you? At that time again we would have run, the mercy of Allah has come. Wahshi radiallahu anhu, at that time also he says, that Ya Muhammad, أُرَى هَذَا مُعَلَّكُمْ بِالْمَشِيَةِ, that I see this condition, it is joined with the Mashiyah, that Allah will forgive whoever he wishes. Now I don't know if I will be among those people who Allah wishes to forgive or not. So do you have, فَهَلْ إِنْدَكَ غَيْرُ ذَلِكَ, do you have something else till I am still not happy? Imagine the mercy of Allah. قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَتُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Allah says, O Wahshi, O my banda, my slave who has made israf, who has made zulm and oppression on himself, لَا تَقْنَتُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. That who you are speaking about? You are speaking of your great creator. How can you ever become despondent of his mercy? Will he not wish to forgive you? إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. Allah wishes to forgive every son of man. إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. This is the sifat of Allah. He is Ghafoor, he is Rahim. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu explains that at the beginning when Allah created the creation, then after writing taqdeer also, and after writing the destiny of every single man, then Allah created rahmat also, the sifat of rahmat. And Allah created it in 100 parts. From those 100 parts, Allah sent one part only into and distributed it amongst the creation. He says that because of this one part of the rahmat of Allah, whatever signs of rahmat you see in this world is because of that one part. You will see a lioness. If you try and attack her baby cub, you will see how she will attack you. That love of her child will be that she will give her life to save her lioness. Look at a mother at the time of pregnancy, how she will scream and scream, but when the child comes out, she will never even be able to hit the child, that you have caused me so much pain. So much raham she will feel for the child. Look at that father that he is able to spend over and over again on his child. He sees his money going out of his pocket, it never hurts his heart. That rahmat of Allah, it is all on the basis of that one sifat of rahmat. Look at Yusuf alayhi salam, after his brothers throw him in the well, and they try and kill him, and they put him through years of slavery, they make him go to jail. After so many years when they come under his power, he says, لَا تَثْرِيبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْيَوْمِ, that oh my brothers, today I forgive every single thing of yours, and not only that, I bring you into the castle also to share the bounties with me. Look at أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ النَّبِي sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who was رَحْمَةٌ لِلْعَالَمِينَ, the greatest of this world in rahmat. The Quraysh come in front of him after Fatah Makkah, after years of oppression and after chasing him out of his beloved house, out of the Makkah Mukarramah, away from the house of Allah, which his heart was bleeding to live. At that time when their heads are bowed in front of him, and they think what he's going to do with them, then he says that how can I ever punish you today? I will say the same thing that Yusuf alayhi salam said is to his brothers, and he forgives all the Quraysh at that time also. Man thinks of this rahmat and he becomes astounded. Imagine, this is only one of the rahmat that Allah has created. And the remaining 99 parts Allah has kept with him. 99 parts of rahmat Allah has got. So who then can become despondent of the mercy of Allah? On near the arsh of Allah, Allah has written on the kitab, Inna rahmati sabaqad ghadabi, that my rahmat is always more than my anger. It always comes over my anger. On the day of Qiyamah, when man will have to stand in front of Allah, at that time fearing the punishment of Allah, when they will see this ayat written by the arsh of Allah, man will become happy. It is mentioned even shaitan will become happy, and shaitan will think that I will also get forgiven today. That Allah is forgiving in such a great number, I will also get forgiven. But Allah has taken a promise that shaitan and the mushrikeen will never get forgiven. So this, my respected brothers and elders, is the mercy of Allah. However, one thing to remember, is not someone should think that because Allah is Arhamur Rahimin, Allah forgives every single sin, then it is for me to make sin how I wishes. For this reason, man will see in the Quran, whenever Allah mentions the sifat of rahmah, Allah also mentions his sifat of punishment. غَافِرُ الذَّنْبِ, Allah forgives all sins. غَافِرُ الذَّنْبِ وَقَابِلُ التَّوْبِ, Allah accepts all tawbah. شَدِيدُ الْعِقَابِ, and if Allah wants to punish also, Allah can punish very, very greatly. الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ, Allah is ever ready to forgive. مَالِكِ يَوْمِ الدِّينِ, but don't forget the day of Qiyamah. فَعَالُ لِمَا يُرِيدُ, if Allah doesn't want to forgive you also, there is nothing preventing Allah from not forgiving you. Nothing is wajib on Allah. Allah has taken it upon himself to forgive those who have good actions in their life, and who ask Allah to forgive. Never become dependent that definitely Allah will forgive me, I can do what I want. This is a very, very bad sign. If a father tells his son, oh my son, whatever you do, I will be ready to forgive you. Whatever you need, I will be ready to give you. Then do you ever think that that son will take a dagger and he will go and cut the leg of his father and say, my father, you said that you will forgive everything of mine, so forgive this here also. It is a sign of love. The son will give his life now to show love to that father, that my father has shown so much love to me. Allah has shown more than you can ever imagine, so much love. Allah asks us only to show a little bit love towards him, that when his commands are presented in front of us, then we do not say that, what are these commands? Why are they so hard? With love and with happiness we say that, oh my Allah, you have done so much for me and you are ready to ever forgive me. Little bit I can also do for you. So this, my respected brothers, is the first sifat of Allah ar-Rahman and the second sifat of Allah ar-Rahim. If man has to understand only these two sifat according to its reality, it will become so easy for man to love Allah, for man to obey Allah, for man to become the muqarrab and the beloved of Allah. May Allah grant us all tawfiq to understand and to understand the sifat of Allah, to bring it into our lives and to become the friends of Allah. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.